Mr. Pop.
Eat.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics.
Dear Patriots, and happy Saturday to all you all. Thanks for tuning in. This is Red Pill Politics. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website where you can find a full week's worth of programs. You can share the links. You can download the MP3s and load them into your boomboxes and your car stereos and carry them on a thumb drive. All kinds of ways to share. All kinds of ways to listen. Hit the donation button because we are sponsored by our listeners, okay? No corporate fat cats here telling us what to say. So please support what we're doing and share the word. RedPillPolitics.tv if you want some other snarky snips and this and that. You can catch the stream over there on Rumble, live streaming. If you want to get involved in text chat and hang out, we are now sending a live stream out every Saturday where you can actually interact during the show. That being said, we got Dave from New York, and we were talking about ivermectin and how there are actual existing approved, not only approved, but this is a Nobel Prize winning medication that is on the list of essential medications that would have made every single injection that the government and their comrades foisted on people invalid according to the rules of their own emergency use authorization. There could not be an approved alternative, which this clearly was. There was a clear effort to suppress it. There were people like me that were banned and cleansed from social media platforms because we were screaming from the rooftops, hey, consider this. Not wishing ill will on anyone, not wishing violence on anyone, actually trying to help. And we were actively treated punitively, the information willfully suppressed. All right, this is, in my opinion, in the opinion of many, this has risen to a very serious crime. This is a crime. All right, what is taking
place?
Well,
it's an operation, so, the operation goes on. I think it's very good that you did broadcast all that, that was important. But again, they're blocking you. And now, I listened to Jeff Rentz talking about this with Erica Connor, you know, about all these things. And I don't believe everything they say, but I do listen, and they usually seem to be really pretty on target. I think
just the
they
ability
mentioned
of being able to talk about this and for doctors and researchers to be able to research it. I mean, at the same time, the exact same pressure that, you know, you and I felt as we tried to bring awareness, we felt that pressure in the social media realm. Doctors felt the exact same pressure from those with the thumb screws on them from above, saying this is the way it's got to be. These are the protocols. This is what you do. And it was theatrics from top to
bottom. Well, it was highly coordinated, quite obviously, when you really look at all these things.
Yes.
From the top down, very amazingly across the world. But, and, you know, although some countries like India apparently use the ivermectin and helped them get out of the situation, I believe, in the Delta wave. But the ivermectin now, I heard, was being suppressed again.
They had a breakout of scabies, and, you know, they wound up giving everyone on the other floor ivermectin ahead of time. None of them got COVID. You know, and it was doctors that would try to share observations. And with the internet and things being what they are, we as a people, you know, the professionals, the doctors, and people like us, the observers who see what's happening in real time on the ground, if we're working together on things like this, and science is true science, there's nothing that's settled science. If it can't be questioned, it's really not science. So we got to get out of that mindset and allow the free flow of information, especially with things like these viruses, is let doctors and scientists really do their thing. This was all controlled. Well, you know that. I know that. In the big
Well, science does advance. It advances. Our knowledge advances, and theories come out, new theories based on anomalies and new observations and stuff. But the importance of the ivermectin now is that they are suppressing it, I believe. Again, they're demonizing it. I heard this. I can't exactly say where. Maybe it was on Liberty Beacon. Maybe it was Rents. But if they're doing that, what Rents pointed out is that Gert VandenBosch, who is up in Gavi, he's a vaccinologist, not just a virologist. He's been deep into this, and he understands how this works in populations. And if he's an honest guy and telling us the truth, and I think he has very good rationale behind what he's saying, that he said the deaths so far from the vaccines are peanuts compared to what's going to happen when the effect of these focusing vaccines to a really specific spike and overloading your immune system and directing it greatly towards that is totally effing up people's immune systems. Let's just put it that way. And he'll give you the details. And this is going to result, he thinks, in super bugs which go through the vaccinated people. Mm-hmm. But he's also mentioning, I think, this is where the ivermectin would come in. He mentioned antivirals being very important. Well, this is one of them. This is a big one.
I think one of the contributing things that they did not want to happen is for us to stumble into the fact that this ivermectin stuff is not just a silver bullet for this really, really scary thing called COVID. But it seemed to, if you look back at the statistics for the annual flu, completely eliminated it one year. So, you know.
Well, no. When was this? When was that?
What the heck year was that? 2020, I think.
Okay. Chris Steiner has put out a very good email to me and John Moore about this, explaining everything about it. Basically, and it's hard to understand every detail, but the CDC stopped measuring it, I think, in the 2021 year. But in 2019, 2020 year, there were a high number, a little higher than average number of flu deaths recorded on the CDC's death certificate data, which I analyzed myself. But they didn't squelch it, I think, until like the middle of 2020 and stopped measuring it. But now they're measuring it again. You listen on TV, they said, oh, look at all the flu cases. Well, they couldn't have flu cases if they didn't do a test.
What they didn't want to happen is have people go back and study these people that may have had both COVID and the flu.
They were padding the numbers. They were manipulating the dials, you know.
Yeah, but I've
remembered. And now they're manipulating the dials a different way. Because people aren't taking the COVID boosters, maybe, and they want them to take the flu vax. I don't know.
Ivermectin, which is cheap and easy to make, and if the people of this country came to the realization that they could actually go on a dose of this around if they got sick or around flu season, if they were vulnerable, what would that translate to into lost revenue for the vaccine industry? It would be huge.
Oh, I think as Peter McCullough said, about 80% of the deaths would certainly not have ever occurred. Right. But then we know that the deaths were magnified by things like midazolam and remdesivir. So, you know, I mean, it could be that we would have only had a count of 100,000 dead in the U.S. instead of like this a million inflated number. Yeah. If they used ivermectin and used vitamin D3 to everybody. I mean,
Yeah, I'm still convinced it's going to take years before we see the full ramifications of this. I think we're going to have to see a generation of children born to vaccinated parents and things like that to see. I mean, are we going to be dealing with like the thalidomide babies all over again? Because it does appear that everyone's body chemistry is different in these clots, and they're not really blood clots. It's the lining of the blood vessels. There's something in there where there is a clotting formation, but it's not necessarily...
Well, that's been described as an amyloid clot due to prion domains in the spike protein, doing prion chains and chains of one protein is just misfolding another, and then they link together somehow, yes, and they make these white, rubbery, fibrous
like
things. Yeah,
it's very much like a plaque in your arteries, but it's very significant.
It's floating around.
It grows differently in different
places. It's in the middle, not on the sides, I would say, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
they certainly pulled them out of people,
it's
and it's horrible.
It's not going to happen overnight. It's not like some people are just having an immediate neurological reaction and they're dropping. Others,
right.
This is developing, and, I mean, they got lots of plausible deniability as people going to start dropping dead all over for all kinds of things with this.
There can be many different formulations, and people pointed out that if they don't shake the vial right and things, people are getting different dosages of the stuff. And some of the competent MDs have mentioned this. So,
the refrigeration habits have changed a lot and may have changed the performance and efficacy and the reaction of this vaccine just because it was not maintained in frozen state, I guess, like it originally was.
Who knows what they're doing? I don't know what they're sending out.
It's going to take years.
But the problem is that if Van de Bosch is correct, the ivermectin will be important in this winter season. And this winter season, we could see some serious problems. I don't know if his prediction is going to be right or wrong, but I just see him as highly competent in the field. And if he's honest as well, and not just one of these plants, which there's plants out there, watch and see what happens and watch and see if they shut down and do all this stuff again. I don't know what.
Worst case scenario, we already know that this medication is a legitimate positive thing for many different ailments. So it's not like...
It's on the NIH website for COVID now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. They're back.
Finally.
Everything. Absolutely everything. Yeah. They finally came out and said, well, you know, it actually doesn't prevent transmission. You know, you're telling a group of people that have been screaming that from the rooftops for 2 years. You know, they're just covering their asses right now. So they can tell, we made a mistake. And remember when we said, we admitted to it. Yeah, well, it's only because it's just all coming unraveled. There's too many doctors, scientists, and morticians with too much information that they can't explain away any longer.
Yeah, I think there's some key people we've got to get some real data to and talk in a very rational way and not emotional. And maybe they will buy on and understand that their perception is wrong and that this whole thing is much different and worse than they thought. And because, there's people in important liberal positions. This is what these kind of liberal people, these kind of people who go with the system, these people who government people, we need to get those to convert over so the resistance will flip. Because look at the EU Parliament people. They said, listen, where's Borla? We got these questions. Why are people dying? Why are they disabled? And why did you say there was no transmission going to happen when you didn't test for it? Remember that? Just a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So that was very, I said, wow, what a flip. We got politicians on high level speaking out against this in the EU. Great, So, keep pushing it at the grassroots level. I think that's where we're at, you and I, right? So
We got to keep at it and make sure that there's voices out there speaking up, because so many are bashful. They're afraid to be that first one. I mean, I've sat in a room full of people, you know, where the same heaviness is there, and no one really is the first one to speak. And once somebody
there is really an elephant there, folks. He's not wearing any clothes.
Yeah, you can hear the gasp in the room as people, I mean, the tension is incredible, but there's got to be voices out there brave enough to be the first. I'm not letting anything go. This craziness from now on, you know, call me a homophobe if you want, but this stuff that they are pushing on children, the drag queen stuff, what they're doing in the schools, this is attack on our children the most. Among the most vulnerable. I mean, to attack a child is the lowest of low. And gloves are off. The gloves are off. We got to push back on this stuff. The vote integrity. We cannot.
Well, listen. They're accepting the abortion. The abortion is these people are totally defenseless kids. They can't even say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this has all progressed even worse. I guess it's going downhill because of. You know, anyway.
Yeah,
it's nice talking to you. I don't know what else I have to say.
All right, well, thank you for the call, Dave, from New York there. Appreciate it.
All right,
have a good night. Thank you. The solution, we really do have to get ourselves out of that mindset that we're going to be looking up to government, you know, waiting for their next announcement. You know, maybe they got a solution today. Or maybe at their press conference on Wednesday, they'll have a solution for us to make me happy now. Oh, no. You are going to have to be part of the solution. You absolutely are going to have to not be taking a backseat role in your own destiny. That cannot happen. It has not worked. It has not worked. Surely, any time there has been a profound revolutionary uprising in defense of liberty, it has come from civil disobedience, acts of civil disobedience. You know, by virtue of the word, it's civil, not a violent action. You first got to say no, not mumble no, and not, you know, whisper no on social media, but say no. Right, you people with jobs and offices who wear suits to work, you might have to go out in the streets, you know, in your suit if you have to, and stand with a thousand, a million other people to say no. All right, doesn't matter what all their personal preferences are right now in the pursuit of liberty. You can unify under that. Your color, your religion, your lack thereof, doesn't matter. Recognize that your government has stopped serving its purpose. They attack you. They got their hand in your pocket. They're attacking your children with impunity. All right? They feel there is no authority higher and can do what they want with your children. You should be insulted and angry. All right. Got another caller here. We're going to hop to it. So far, so good. Tom from Utah. How are you tonight, Tom?
Being on the scientific bloviation that keeps rolling off the mouth of everybody.
Here you are. Hear you loud and clear. How are you tonight? How are things in Utah?
I don't know. Just the same old, quiet.
Oh, shoot. We got you on, ready to break. Hey, stay with us, Tom, okay? And we'll jump in as soon as we get through with a couple of announcements. This is Red Pill Politics broadcasting on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. Be right back after the break. Would that be the time to wave them blue? Well, you might not sing a bit like Elvis, but a good groove will make you shake your...
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
417-932-6419. I am a man in a constant sorrow. I've seen trouble. The place where I was born and raised.
The place where he was born and raised.
Yeah, happy Saturday, everybody. This is Red Pill Politics. If you are a first-time listener, you too can call in at 512-248-8252. RepublicBroadcasting.org is a website where you can find other great programs, make a donation to keep us going, and, of course, RedPillPolitics.tv for other snarky musings from us. You want to contribute, do things in real time. We always shoot out a live stream over at the Rumble channel, so look up and subscribe to Red Pill Politics there, and join right in. We got a caller from Utah tonight. We had to cut you off just as the break was coming in. Please continue. We got Tom from Utah.
Well, we have been conditioned. And we actually, I think there is a mistranslation in the Bible. It says, know the truth and the truth will make you free. I think really what that was supposed to have said was know the truth and the truth will make you angry. Because as soon as you know the truth, what does that dictate?
Well, it gives you a path of action. It puts it lights a path for you. It does do that.
But most of the time I find out that we don't like a change. We don't want to take responsibility for the truth.
Yeah.
If you know the truth, it demands an action. And quite often we don't want to participate in that action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's similar to what's been inculcated into our children is they want the right, because I always hear young people clamoring, I have the right to do this and the right to do that. Yet they never recognize the responsibility that goes along with these rights. Our most important right is the right to make mistakes. You know, the right to be wrong. That's really one of our most important, is it allows us to learn, you know, from our bad decisions and hopefully find a better way to light the path.
Well, it's kind of like we've been conditioned to enjoy the Happy Meal because it has a toy.
Right.
And when we find out that Happy Meal is not that good for us, we still are resistant because we like the toy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been conditioned, you know, I spent much of my life in the lab, but even more important, I spent my life in the bigger lab called the world, the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see the disease issues from not only within the lab, but their sources or the reservoir from which they come outside the lab.
Did you work in a private lab, or were you connected with a university?
Both. Mm-hmm. All of them.
How would you describe the ability to do legitimate science, as you know, as the information dictates, and pursue it as you will, the politics in a private environment versus one that's affiliated with a university?
Well, both of them are dictated by the grant providers. You know, we have this saying that...
Are they the same? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Pretty much. Remember, the Rockefellers took over the whole allopathic, the homeopathic industry and converted it into allopathy. Mm-hmm. So whatever money's coming in dictates what you're doing in the labs. And I found that out. We have this saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure.
Yeah.
If your grant is coming in from a special entity like Pfizer, or Lilly, or LaRoche, or, you know, Merck Sharp and Dohme, whoever's providing the money, or the Sloan Kettering, or the Rockefeller Foundation, you don't want to offend your grant giver. So
yeah,
quite often...
Through the lack of research, they're able to make claims like there is no clinical evidence that says colloidal silver is effective at A, B, or C. It's because they willfully do not investigate that. So there will not be clinical evidence. So
exactly.
There's a lot of ways that money permeates those environments. And I was just curious because I worked in a lab for a while myself, and I know that the politics really did drive the money and what you researched and what you didn't. And one time I found a five-legged salamander with 6 feet. And this was something that the university really glommed onto. I got to do lots of independent studies, but heads of the department were using this to go out and create and fabricate all kinds of environmental propaganda to go on a great big land grab to start putting land into conservation, because us, you know, horrible humans were causing things like this. So the politics was very thick and heavy. And I'm just curious what your experience was, having been in a similar environment.
Yeah, money dictates mode and method and, of course, your final outcome, especially that that's produced or published. It really bothered me when you'd find something that was actual fact. that your microscope and the laboratory processes would validate, but it wouldn't get published because it offended the industry. For example, when we were working on mad cow back in the 60s and the 70s, when we published our findings, wanted to publish our findings, that was suppressed because that would be bad for the industry. And I'm not talking about just the livestock industry, but also the pharmaceutical industry, because 93% of your pharmaceuticals produced don't end up in human beings. They end up in livestock.
Right. Well, you know, I was reading an article last week that they had they started an inoculation in Australia. Now, Australia is a big beef country, too. And just heard that they inoculated for COVID, nonetheless, that 18%, it was like 17.8, close to 18% of the cattle, while they were, you know, vaccinating that herd, dropped dead immediately. All right, these were immediate neurological reactions. The cattle hit the ground, they were dead. Some more died in the, you know, the days and weeks to follow, and then the remaining were beef and milk products. but it's becoming unavoidable. And, you know, this biological magnification of some of these things, and now that they're getting into genetic modification, and we see that that's not always as stationary as they said. They said the shot was supposed to stay right there in your arm, and it most certainly does not. How could that survive from cattle feed into the beef and the milk and then into us and then into a new human being? What happens along these lines? That's what I said earlier on, just before you called, is I don't know that we're not going to know the true impacts and ramifications of this for years to come.
Can I refute that? We actually know that that's not made public. I mean, we've been vaccinating, we've been treating animals, livestock, for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's even ridiculous to me is to even think that any part of the shot stays in that area of the shot.
Right.
The whole point is to get that material to affect the entire body and affect the controlling glands. So anybody that says, well, you know, that material is going to stay right there in the muscle, are you kidding me? There are capillaries running through every fiber of your muscle.
Yeah.
Whatever's in that muscle fiber is going to move with the blood flow.
Right.
By the way, language is an important mechanism to hide the truth. You know that? There are three professions that use the dead language of Latin as their means of communication. Which are those three professions? Law, medicine, and the Vatican. So what does the word vaccine actually mean? Go to Latin, find out what that name is. Vaca, what is vaca? Livestock or cows. Scene is the life force. Cinema, like the cinema, takes dead pictures, puts them in a sequence, runs them quickly through a camera, projecting them, and you look like you're looking at life. So what is a vaccine? It's the life force of the cow. But not just the cow, any creature. Vaca, also we use that to refer to any animal life. So what is a vaccine? It's the blood of the animal. Why is that important? That triggers your body to react to something that is like it, but not it. That's
right, but
that's,
we
that
really jumped to a whole new realm, though, where traditionally these antibiotics and vaccines that were given to cattle was not this mRNA stuff where it actually modifies your genome, but is it is supposed to go throughout the animal for, you know, getting rid of parasites and viruses, bacteria, what have you. But there is the assumption that there is a breakdown and it's extruded in waste. this is not totally true, because many of these things, especially the most harmful, are lipophilic. They're not hydrophilic. They're lipophilic. They're fat-loving. So they bind very strictly to the fat cells in our body. Yeah. And those are much more difficult to get rid of. Oh, okay, so I concede that. But what I'm saying is
we're jumping
to a whole new era now with these mRNA vaccines that they're putting in our food and water because they're finding resistance and getting it into all of us willingly. That's what's going to be a problem is, you know, what little bit of beef and protein that might be available in the food chain here is likely to be contaminated, the vast majority of it.
So you could be vaccinated by proxy.
Yes.
Yes, in other words, you don't have to be jabbed with a hypodermic yourself. Jab yourself with a hypodermic on the end, a four-pronged hypodermic, a fork.
Well, if they can put fluoride in your water, they can put it put that in your water too, right?
Well, water won't support that program, quite frankly. You have to have these antigens and the pathogens have to be protected in the fat envelope. They also have to have a food supply and enough liquidity in that vector that they can move away from their own excrement, their own exotoxins. So the reality is, these pathogens can't move through the air. The enemy of every pathogen that I ever cultured or identified in my lab work or field work, oxygen is the arch enemy.
Yeah, oxygen and light usually does in a lot of them, sunlight.
It does all of them. All of them that causes disease in you or in the animal kingdom. They're all photophobic, oxyphobic, you know, they can't stand even cosmic energy. So they have to be wrapped in a package of dense fat. That's not coconut oil. That's not the, you know.
Yeah. Olive now, what, oil. Do you, what do you think about what they just revealed last week right here out of my own home state of Massachusetts? Boston University now claims that they've got something that's 80% more deadly that they created in a lab.
Well, man is not that smart, quite frankly, I will tell you. What he can do is go out into nature and find it, and then bring it to the lab, and then feed it, and multiply it, gain a function. In other words, grow it in the medium that he finds is most conducive to replication, and then he can spread that through the needle to wherever he wants.
Yeah, granted, there's things in the wild, but they took the two characteristics of a version that's highly transmissible but doesn't make you very sick at all with something that's highly deadly. And not only are we not through this, you know, they just started right in again, and now they're touting it. I mean, I think what should happen is all federal and state funding to that institution should stop immediately. They should send in officials to secure that lab and arrest everyone on site. We're not supposed to be creating these gain-of-function in this country, yet, you know, let's face it, that area of Massachusetts is the belly of the beast for the deep state, especially biotech. So it don't surprise me you came from there, but this is not something that I think they need to be dabbling in. And no one did anything about it.
If you watch the movie Medicine Man with Sean Connery, that kind of gives you the reality. We just go out into nature, we find a pathogen, you know, bring it home, culture it, create it in mass, you know, in a vat, and then distribute that pathogen again with the hypodermic to wherever we want it to go.
Conversely,
by the way, in the past,
medicines came from too. You know, conversely, many of the things that, you know, in certain doses are toxic, but natural things found in the environment is really how this all started.
Digitalis, for example, yeah. Yeah, like Digitalis. But in the past, we've been conditioned to accept the vaccines because they've been giving us the tincture in the teapot. We've been sipping from the teapot, but now they've given us the bag to suck on the bag directly.
Yeah.
And by the way, all vaccines are DNA, RNA, because the antigens, the materials that are harvested from the livestock, put into the vaccine, they carry the DNA of the creature that stuff came from. But it's a matter of the concentration. In other words, if you can get by with sipping the tea, right? But if you sip on the tea bag itself, that's a lot more potent. And that's what they're doing now. We're giving you the potent form, where your body reacts violently instead of just, you know, summarily.
Do you think this mRNA thing is just going to cleanse itself out of our body, that it's not going to pass along these genetic modifications?
We've been doing that from the beginning. Anytime we put something in your body that carries the DNA of the creature, there's always a risk or possibility that plasma can be...
There's still a difference between one is found naturally in the environment. As you just said, you can go out in the environment and find these very aggressive bacteria and viruses.
Like Ebola, yeah.
Yep, those things can be found naturally. What is being foisted on us are things, and I've always espoused this, even with other chemical contaminants in the environment, that if it has to be created in a laboratory under artificial conditions that you will not find ambiently on Earth, you've created something that in all likelihood there is nothing that will recognize it to break it down and decompose it. So if you create, you know, by comparison, if you create a virus in a lab where there's no chance in the environment that this thing could ever come together, you force it together, and it becomes...
Well, what are you using as a medium in the lab? That's the answer. You cannot get a pathogen to do anything that would not do out in the environment anyway. When you're in the lab, you're just bringing the environment into the petri dish. There's no really mystical magic in the lab. You have to just simply bring the conditions of nature into the lab, manage it, you know, encourage it, and then create your, quote, dosage or your doping compound. I mean, I never cultured anything in the lab in potatoes. It had to be fat, flesh, and plasma.
But culturing something is taking an organism, something that exists already, and reproducing it, making more of it.
That's right.
They're taking, you know, like the head of one thing and the tail of another and sticking it together in a laboratory, because normally those two things would never come together in nature. And when that takes on a life of its own and replicates, because, I mean, my experience in nature, everything is in cycles. For everything that exists, you know, it usually consumes one thing and there's other things that will consume it. Everything's in a cycle of some sort that keeps checks and balances. So if you've got, you know, a certain insect that's not native to here, that tastes nasty and there's nothing that will eat it, it goes crazy and becomes an invasive, you know, because it came in from another country.
Until it runs out of food.
In this case, if you have a virus... like one out of Boston University that kills 80% of the people, you know, it could eventually run out of food, run out of host, but it, you know, is there anything that we're going to find? Is there a natural substance that would be able to deal with that? I mean,
don't invite the pathogen into your food supply.
True.
See, once you know the characteristics of a pathogen and know what it takes to move it, to vector it, you can avoid it.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the disease conditions in the past, I'll teach you another word, culling. What does the word cull mean?
That means to go through a population and get rid of the weak and deformed.
Get rid of the reservoir. And that was part of my responsibility, was to go through the livestock herds, find those that were showing high measures of particular pathogens or disease organisms. And, of course, the animals themselves would not always express any of that disease because of their elevated body temperature, which protects them.
Yeah.
But if I found an animal was high in the bovine polii, that animal was to be culled out so it would not be a source of contaminant for the food supply.
Yeah.
That was back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, when I was just first drafted into that, veterinary pathology.
Yeah.
So we would find the animals in the food supply that were showing evidence of a disease. They wouldn't express it. The cow never came up to the edge of the fence and say, hey, I got a bad stomach today. Could you find me some ivermectin? You know?
No.
Or a chicken never came over and says, oh, I got a real serious case of, you know, Lyme's disease I'm packing, or hantavirus. So that animal doesn't get discovered until it's already long, deep into the food supply system.
Yeah.
But once you understand that, then you can avoid that. And that's what we were doing back in the 50s and 60s. And I was responsible to Ezra Taft Benson, Secretary of Agriculture. We would be checking the livestock, both cattle and poultry, and whatever animal showed high with a particular pathogen, even though the animal didn't appear sick, we'd take that animal and cull it, get it out of the system, because that was the pathway it got to the human beings. Anyway, the other, like I say, the word vaccine is a giveaway. Vaccine. So if you want to avoid the vaccine, don't self-vaccinate.
Yeah. Well, it's getting
harder. By the way, in answer to those that have taken the vaccine, don't continue to aggravate or agitate. In other words, avoid the antigens, the materials that they never talk about in the vaccine. You know, they talk about the mercury. They talk about the aluminum.
They're still not even listing ingredients. If you request the vaccine and serve for the COVID vaccine, it's a big blank sheet still. We don't even know what's in it.
The most important factor in the vaccine is the antigens. It's the animal tissue harvested from the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
So when you put that in your body, which your body's made of the same material, your body recognizes this alien antigen. That's why it's called antigen, antigenetics, antigenesis. It develops antibodies against that particular tissue, and then by default will attack the same tissue of your own.
Yeah.
When you have that tissue to fail, that's an insult in the environment of your body, and the pathogens find that as an opportunity. We call it an opportunistic infection. So here's an idea. If you don't want to deal with the vaccine problem, don't continue to self or auto-vaccinate.
Yep, that's good advice. It absolutely.
By the way,
this is a hard
statement. There are no antigens coming from the garden.
Yeah, I know that's been on my list. I've been harping about this. People have their little victory gardens going all summer long. I totally agree. My grandfather always told me the most defiant thing you could do to government is feed yourself.
Feed yourself.
I totally understand what he meant when he said that now. I really appreciate
that. By the sweat of your brow.
Yeah,
it says by the sweat of your own brow, right?
Yeah. Right. I spent many weekends out there picking rocks in the garden, pulling weeds, you bet. but he was right, and that's where the best food was, and people were healthier, too.
By the way, I'm 82.
Huh?
I'm 82.
Wow, why? 82 years young. You probably ate very good most of your life.
No, I ate like an idiot up until I was 50, and then when I was on the table, 2 weeks away from turning 50, I was a dead man, and I'm asking the spirits, why am I here? And they said, you already know, idiot. Because in the previous 30 years, I'd worked in pathology, and I knew darn well where the pathogens came from.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the garden. It was not. Again, what is the enemy of these pathogens? Oxygen, sunlight, cosmic energy. What's in the garden? All three of those.
Excellent. Hey, thank you very much for the call. It was a great discussion. I got a break coming up here in just a moment. But thanks for the call. This is Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these few messages. You stay tuned.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Like 2 hours of all going to survive. I got your dose with no sugar. All right, got your medicine straight this week again. Thank you to all the callers. Good discussion there. I know just enough about, you know, I love science. I wouldn't call myself a scientist by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I've worked in a lab. I just really like it. I really enjoyed it. It was a part of college, and even beyond college, the studying of the environment didn't really stop. It only enhanced, I guess. But we need real science, not junk science, not politicized and weaponized science. We need real science combined with the bright light of day. All right? We're all adults here. And when the full information, the accurate information, I don't need someone to describe it and define it for me. I just need the information to be able to ask questions and converse and understand. And then people will willingly go along. Ideas come out that you may not have thought of. Innovation can take place in the free market system that can solve a lot of things. But what we need is to get the politics and the money out of that crap. Speaking of which, someone spent quite a bit of money sending 250,000 ballots, all right, unidentified ballots to Pennsylvania. All right, there's people being caught rigging this election already. They're trying to keep you from watching ballot drop boxes. All right, don't violate the law. Go there, park your ass there, and videotape every single one of them that goes through there. Don't engage them. All right, just document it. And when you see the same car or you see someone shuffling, you know, handfuls of ballots in there, all right, this is what we need. And don't stay home. If you're one of those people that doesn't vote, say, I don't vote no more. I'm not part of that system. My vote don't count. Go and vote. I'm telling you right now, just factually, it is much harder to rig an election when there's a big voter turnout. All right? When turnout is huge, election fraud is uncovered all over the place. All right, write in. Do a write in on your ballot for somebody somewhere on the ballot. Rather than checking off his box, write it in. Write the name in. It forces a hand count. It doesn't get pushed through the machine. All right, it forces a hand count. So people are doing that. All right, but bring the pressure on. All right, these progressives, they've become the party of communist pedophiles. And don't be afraid to say so. Well, they got to be politically punished. I started this show talking about timing and opportunity. This is it. There's not going to be. You can't wait another 4 years, another 10 years down the road. Things are blowing up in your faces right now. And you've got the opportunity. The media's rocked back on their heels. Carrie Lake just lambasted them. Again, they've never been more humiliated. Stay on them. There is no quitting here, folks. There is no quitting. All right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and sharing the show. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Share the information. Donate if you can. RedPillPolitics.tv. Get signed up over there and check out the other snarky musings. And, you know, we'll see you next Saturday, God willing, right? Love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.